chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the mother walk the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful Smart. Talk about food, wine, and all kinds of things to do with farming, brewing, fermenting, and more. And sometimes it's even about little puppies who bark too much, isn't it? You need to sit in my lap. Excuse me one second. Okay, Lark has calmed down. What a beautiful day today was. You know, it's not spring, it's winter, but today certainly held the promise of spring, and everyone at the farmer's market was talking about it. I was there for several hours. We're moving into the next season. The rain has been absolutely glorious, but that bit of sun that we had today was really nice as well. One thing I wanted to mention, I think I wanted to mention it last week, and I don't think I did, but if I did, you know, it doesn't really matter. You can hear it again. If you ever go to YouTube, you might put Petaluma Chicken Farms. Okay, you might put Petaluma Chicken Farms into the search bar at YouTube, and it should pop up right away. It's a 1 minute and 50 second video of Jewish chicken farmers in Petaluma. And they use the Norman Greenbaum song Petaluma as their background. So it's just really, it's a very sweet little video. I'm going to use it in a class I'm teaching on Thursday. But it's fun. It's fun. You can watch it several times and enjoy it. We're deviating a little bit from what we normally do here on Mouthful, if you can say such a thing. And we're going to talk about organizing your kitchen. It's something that everyone needs, you know, unless you have like every planet in Virgo, and I don't think that's actually possible. Everyone needs to do a bit of organizing now and then, and it's something I do periodically. I tend to do it seasonally. Like last weekend, I just was suddenly inspired to clean out my spice cabinet. And you know, I go around and I cook a lot, and so I think a lot about what it means to organize your kitchen. And then I got an email from our guest this evening, Brooks Palmer, who is at least in part a specialist in organization, and had a really interesting story about a client. And I said, sure, come on, let's talk about it. Welcome to Mouthful, Brooks.
Thanks. It's great being here.
Now, is your book out or is it on its way out?
I have two books out. One is Clutter Busting, Letting Go of What's Holding You Back. And the other is Clutter Busting Your Life, Clearing Physical an emotional clutter to reconnect with yourself.
Right, and is that second one out now?
Yes.
Okay, one of them, I was thinking, is it out or is it coming out? Okay, so they're both out.
Yes.
Both and available in all the usual places.
Yes, they're available at Copperfields, where I'm actually going to talk this Saturday.
Oh, you are? Saturday? Which Copperfields?
I mean, Saturday at 7 o'clock in Sebastopol.
Oh, in Sebastopol, great.
Yeah.
So, is the second one new now? Is it just out? Or
no, the second one's been out for about 3 years.
Oh, okay, great. And they're having new. That's excellent. Good for Copperfields.
Yeah, yeah. And they're in about 7 or 8 languages right now.
Oh, fabulous. So, yeah. What got you started?
A friend of mine suggested I do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had no intention. I went over to his house. His name's Craig. And I wanted to sit on his couch, but his couch was filled with papers and miscellaneous stuff. So I said, can we go through this stuff so I can sit on your couch? And he goes, yeah, sure. So we got out a trash bag and we went through one thing at a time and I asked some questions. And we cleared out all the stuff on the couch. It all went in the trash. And then when we got to the bottom of the sofa, the springs had been busted. You know, he was a large guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he just sat in there for many years and the springs wore out and he kind of covered it up, which is a lot of what clutter's about. People get ashamed of stuff and they kind of just pile things up. Mm-hmm. So I said, can we put it out on the curb? And he goes, really, we can do that? And
you mean the couch?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And So we did, and someone came and got it in about 15 minutes. Someone came back with a truck. But he was so moved by how easy it was and how encouraging that I was that he said, you should do this for a living. And that was over 15 years ago, and it just blossomed.
And is that what you do now?
Yes.
Full time?
Mm-hmm.
How do people find you?
Well, they find me through the books.
Okay.
And then they go to my website.
Okay.
And I give a lot of talks.
Uh-huh.
And I've been on the Oprah Winfrey Network and New York Times. And these books are in 8 different languages besides English. So the word's out there.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, there's a book that came out some point last year by a Japanese woman.
Mm-hmm. What, Marie Kondo, I think it is.
It's all about decluttering.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it either, but I know that it's really popular, and it's been something I've wanted to take a look at, and I just haven't had a chance to yet.
I think she sold like over 2 million copies.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, very popular.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, do you travel to find your clients, or do you stay pretty low? I know you recently moved here from Chicago.
Right. I've been here about almost 2 months.
Oh, really? Moved
I'm
here?
I'm very new.
What brought you to Sonoma County?
Well, the weather.
I was going to say, other than the better weather.
And the trees.
The trees, yes.
And my wife got a job with IONS, this science group in Petaluma.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked Sebastopol because the high school was good for my stepson.
Oh, your stepson goes to Annalee?
He will be. He'll be starting in the summer. Right now, my wife and stepson are in Chicago.
Oh, they're still in Chicago. Okay.
So I'm here for the winter. Then I go back and in April, and then we drive back.
I see. My grandson, who currently lives with me, goes to Annalee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's a good school.
I heard, yeah.
It's a very good school. What is your grandson, does he know what he likes yet?
He's a great musician. He writes a lot of songs.
Oh, great.
Electronic music.
Uh-huh.
And so he's going to take classes on music theory. And
great. Because they have a really good, I don't know as much about their music program, but I know they have a really good drama theater program. And so I assume they have a good music program
they
as
do.
Well.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that's great. So let's talk about, you told me the story about you. Someone asked you, I think she wanted you to help her with her garage. And she had an interesting story about why she never cooked. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, right. So this woman, this is one of my first clients, and she goes, can you come and help me clutter bust my garage? I said, sure. So I went over there, and we walked through her kitchen to get to the garage, and my clutter radar went off. That's the sense that there's something here that's out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an emotional feeling, kind of an uncomfortable, congested feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a very kind of a stoic, kind of very strong woman and showing no emotion, you know. So I said, can we work in the kitchen first? She goes, nope. I hired you to work in the garage. That's where we're working. So I said, well, I just got this feeling. I think we should just spend a little time here.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, she's like, starts to open a little bit, but she's like, well, you know, I'd really rather do the garage. And I said, you know what? I feel like, just trust me on this, you know. So she goes, oh, okay. And So she had like a regular looking kitchen, mm-hmm. you know, but there was this one area, like a cubbyhole area with all these cookbooks. And in the cookbooks were all these pieces of paper just like kind of squashed between the books and on top of the books. Mm-hmm. Like it looked like a rat's nest. You know, it was just a very congested, violent area. And I thought like, you know, something's going on here. So I started asking her about it. And this woman who's showing no emotions just starts crying. It's just like a thunderstorm, like it's all dry out, and then a thunderstorm just descends. That kind where you just shake. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, oh.
How old was she?
She was probably like late 50s, early 60s. Okay. And so, you know, I thought, all right, well, this was a good area to work in, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, didn't know what the story was, so I waited for like 10 minutes. She was one of those long cries. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, this is great. Just keep crying, you know. No extra charge, I think I said. And finally, she stops crying, and I said, so what's the story here? And she goes, she had been married for over 20 years, but she'd been divorced for 2 years. And she got married when she was like 18 or 19. And her husband, he only liked certain kind of foods, like very bland, same kind of, you know, two or three meals every night and, you know, spread out over the week. And she couldn't cook the thing she wanted to cook.
Uh-huh.
So she was this repressed feeling. And she came from an environment where, you know, what the husband says goes, mm-hmm. you know. So the whole, all those 20 plus years, she was hoarding recipes mm-hmm. and cookbooks, you know, and she smashed them into this area. It was like if you had a really bad tension in your back. That's mm-hmm. kind of what I imagine it was like. It was just, there was all this feeling, you know, and the kitchens typically are very emotional places. I've discovered there's a lot of emotion around food. You know, and sometimes it's a good emotion, like openness and enjoying, and sometimes it's like feeling guilty about food or feeling I shouldn't eat this.
A lot of people have food issues.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I was thinking it would be good to be on the show because those become clutter and then it becomes hard for you to enjoy your life, mm-hmm. especially around food because that's such a, you know, we need food to live and to feel good. And so we went through all the recipes and we went through the cookbooks. And she did some more crying, you know. And she picked the recipes that she really liked. And oh, I forgot to tell you, she'd been divorced for 2 years, but hadn't been cooking
right.
at the time
yeah,
because she would because she had pressed that feeling down so much yeah. for all those years.
So was she eating out or bringing prepared food in?
She just like went ordered food out.
Yeah,
you know, people would deliver food to her, mm-hmm. and she had a daughter too. So it's like they kind of ate.
Wow.
You know, stuff cooked from restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, which is can be kind of nice now and then, but still,
now and then, but
when
not,
you love cooking,
yeah.
it's got to be hard. So the interesting thing is, like, after she'd gone through all the recipes and tossed out the ones that she didn't care about and ones that meant something to her now, she looked so much younger. She looked like she was like 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her that because, you know, it's all those years of heaviness really aged her. And then
in letting stuff go. Yeah.
Yeah, she let it go. And that's usually how it goes for people. They look better after they let go of the clutter. You know, it's difficult. Nobody really wants to look through their stuff. But once they do, they feel so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't buy anything new, you know. They got rid of all this excess stuff. So she was just ecstatic and childlike. And, you know, basically she got her life back.
And then did you go on after that? Did you go on into her
garage?
I never
went to the garage.
You never went to the garage. And then did you help her organize her kitchen after you went through the recipes and the books?
Not really. No, we didn't organize it.
Okay.
I mean, what I find is that some people just want to organize stuff. And I say, you should get rid of the clutter first. Because otherwise you're just organizing
clutter.
The stuff you care about with the stuff.
Sure.
And there's something about clutter. The presence of it just makes people tired and distracted. It's like a jamming signal. And so things can be really orderly and neat looking, but if they're clutter, meaning my definition of clutter is anything that no longer serves you, like you don't like and use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sitting there. Its presence creates a stagnant
mm-hmm.
feeling. So.
I'm wondering, did you have this sensibility when you were a child?
Yeah, I did.
You know, because I'm recognizing certain things in myself that you're talking about that I saw as a child, and I'm completely agreeing with you about that feeling of clutter.
Oh, what did you recognize?
How did I? Well, my mother was into clutter.
Yeah.
And I remember it primarily in two places. In the corner of the kitchen, and my mother was a widow. So there was a corner in the kitchen table where she sat, and she kept mail and all kinds of stuff there. And on the coffee table was never cleared off with, say, pretty flowers.
Yeah.
It had stacks of stuff.
Right.
And I wanted things to look nice, and I didn't want there to be clutter.
Right.
And I used to beg her to change it, and every now and then I'd get it, and then it would go back. But I was sensitive to, I mean, and I was like a normal kid with a messy room, but I didn't...
Sure.
I liked things. It was an aesthetic thing for me. But it also, it keeps you clear-headed. If I'm writing a book, or if I'm writing, you know, a challenging magazine story, for example, my office will end up in shambles. And the first thing I do when I'm done with that, it's almost ritualized, is I clean.
All right, right.
And I get rid of all the clutter. I get rid of all the extra papers that can now be thrown out. I just make it beautiful again and make it neat again, but with getting rid as much as I can. So just as you were talking, I was recognizing some of those things.
Sure.
So your specialty is getting rid of clutter.
I help people with the emotional attachment.
To clutter.
Yeah, because, you know, like if you had some soup and you spilled it on the floor, you'd clean it up. You wouldn't think like, oh, should I clean this soup up or not, you know. But there's a lot of stuff that people have that's making them uncomfortable, but they can't let it go because there's an emotional attachment.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of what you do might be to give people permission
basically,
to let go.
Yeah. Yeah, people have said that to me. They say like, oh, I'm letting go of so much stuff. I'm not even saying that much to them. I mean, initially there's the questions and the encouragement, but then it's like wildfire. It just catches and people just start tossing, you know, because they've been given this permission. Like, yes, it's okay to let these things go. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because we're taught from a very young age that we need things to be happy. Because we keep seeing commercials that show an unhappy person, they get a product or a service, and then they're instantly happy.
Right.
And it's repeated thousands and thousands of times, and they use the best psychology research for commercials.
Sure. Absolutely.
So you don't even realize what's happening. And it's part of the culture, too. There's this feeling of, like, if you're sad, you go buy something, you know.
And so...
To get rid of things, it's like you feel like, oh, if I get rid of things on an unconscious level, there's this feeling of I'm going to lose my happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the presence of all this stuff is making you unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need someone to come in and go, you know, it's okay. You can go
What about the attitude of I better keep that because at some point I might need it?
Yeah, that comes up every time.
I would think so.
People, I'll say like, what about this? Do you like and use this? No, I don't. Can we let it go? I can't. Why? Well, what if I need it? And so there's a fear there. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, well, then you're living in fear because you're hanging on to this thing out of like something might go wrong and I might need this. I mean, you know, for a lot of stuff, if you do need something, you can purchase it again. Things are easy to get. But I think it's best to trust. You know, based on experience, it's best to trust. Like, I'm not using this. I don't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I've changed. I don't need it anymore. I used to need it.
But now I don't.
But now you don't.
I think I need to take a look at my fish poacher.
Yeah.
I haven't used that fish poacher in about 25 years.
Well, that's a pretty good amount of time.
I think on that note, we're going to take a break. A little bit of music from Nick Lowe.
I love the sound of breaking glass, especially when I'm lonely. I need the noises of destruction. Glass. Mm-hmm.
favorite songs in the world. We are talking with Brooks Palmer about decluttering your kitchen and your life. So I want to talk more about decluttering kitchen. I'm wondering how deep you go. Do you go through drawers? Do you go all the way through drawers, cabinets, everything?
Everything. I mean, for instance, once I was working with this woman in her kitchen, and we opened up a cabinet for her spice drawer, and it was just crazy array of spices. Like, she couldn't find things in there, and there were spices behind spices. And what would happen is she couldn't find spices, so she would go buy
another
spices.
One and end up with 10 jars of caraway seed.
So I said, and here's what I do with everybody. I said, let's take everything out of the cabinet, you know, and at first she didn't want to, you know, but then I was like, okay. And then there were so many spices, and we started arranging them, and she had a lot of duplicates, just like you were saying. And she didn't know that until we went through it. So we found some really old spices. So we threw those out, and basically we threw out any extras because otherwise it's too confusing. And then, you know, with that confusion, there's tension, and then you just don't want that tension to go into your food, which is what ends up happening, you know? So she was really relieved that we did that. And it didn't take very long. I mean, it was basically 15 minutes of going through spices. That's the thing about clutter busting. When you think about it, it's like, oh, this is going to take forever. It's going to be painful. But when people actually do it, it goes pretty quickly. It becomes very simple. Your discriminating abilities kick in, and then you feel so much better right away.
What are some of the strangest things you've found in going through kitchens? Any dead bodies?
No. Well, there was this one. It smelled like a dead body. This guy, he was an animator for Disney in Los Angeles, and really seemed like a pretty smart guy. And he goes, I just got this terrible smell in my apartment. So I'm curious, like, well, what's creating the smell? Because it was pretty bad. And, you know, we came to the refrigerator, and that's when a just powerful, intense smell came through. And he goes, yeah, I've been through my fridge. I can't find what's making that smell. So I'm looking all around, and in the very back on the bottom is this plate.
In the refrigerator?
In the refrigerator. And I pull it out, and it's got this gray lump on it with saran wrap over it. And you can't tell what it is. It looks like a brain, you know, or something. It's just gray, non-distinct lump. And that was obvious where the smell was coming from, but he couldn't find it on his own.
Could you discover what it was?
No, so we were both looking at it, and we couldn't tell because it was ancient. Decomposed. But here's a guy, he's like pretty smart guy, and he's got a fridge, and, you know, he goes into it every day, and that's how clutter is. It's like, unless you actually sit down and start looking through things, it's hard to find it. And that's why I encourage people to, you know, going through piece by piece. But that was one of the strangest things they ever found in the kitchen. Another strange thing, which got to be very common, was that people had things that they inherited, like china sets.
Yes.
That was really common. They had these china sets that were buried somewhere in the kitchen, you know, usually in the way, like, you know, where they couldn't get to it. Because, you know, they had it because out of an obligation.
Sure.
Like, oh, I can't get rid of this.
I know a friend with three sets.
Yeah. Well, do you ever use it? Not really, but, you know, can we let it go? I can't. That would be really a bad thing because they feel like...
Sure. But, family,
you know,
antiques,
you know,
family
just
heirlooms.
Horrible. It's like being intimidated. And then it makes you resent your family on a deeper level because it's like, oh, you're making me do this. But I can't even think of it that way. I just have to think, I just need to hang on to it. Which, again, ruins the feeling in your kitchen, which affects your digestion, which affects the enjoyment of your food, and that affects your body on a basic level, you know. So... that's why it's so important to take that look. And you'll be surprised. Everybody's surprised at the amount of stuff, especially in kitchens, because these cupboards, things can hide way in the back, especially those kinds that turn around.
Oh, those turnaround ones. I think those are horrible.
Yeah, they're really – first off, they're hard to get to things. So things are going to disappear in the back. And I remember this one client. She just really – her kitchen was always – in a disarray, and she could never get it to where she felt like she enjoyed it. So I said, well, let's take out everything from these cabinets where all the pots and the pans were and certain kitchen items. And we took them all out, and we spread them all over her living room floor. and it filled up her whole living room floor. There were like two of these big things that we emptied out. And for her first impulse was to be very angry. She was so angry that she had this much stuff and didn't realize it. I mean, it was enough for a kitchen and a restaurant.
Wow.
It was that much stuff, and she lived by herself, you know? So once she started feeling better, we went through everything, and we really narrowed it down to just the things that she needed. I mean, that's really how it goes. It's like there's the ideal, and there's like, oh, you should have one of everything, but what do you actually
use? What kind of cooking do you do?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, if there's something that you want to do and you're not doing, okay, well, maybe consider that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is, I think people get sold on like, oh, this looks really fancy, or you see it in a magazine and mm-hmm. it's like, oh, it looks so shiny, or like all these people say you should get this. But if you're not using it, then it's not serving you. It's basically serving the people you bought it from.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's okay to let those things go, because really you're talking about taking care of yourself, not what other people think of you or mm-hmm. how you think other people should see you. It's how do I, you know, what's going to make me happy in my home?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, the rest of the world you can't do anything about, but your home is that place where you can go, all right, I can have some control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you live with someone else, there's some, you know, it's not total, but at least you've got one other person or two other people you need to.
You get to negotiate.
Discuss and negotiate with, yeah. But still, this is your house, so let's see what we can do to make it like comfortable and promote peace of mind and mm-hmm. happiness and joy.
Now, going back to the woman with the spices.
Mm-hmm.
You got rid of the duplicates. She found out what she had.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do after that? Did you help her arrange so that... Because one thing I think, and I could be wrong, you know way more about this than I do, but I always thought there are people who, like, they're like clutter magnets, and there are people... And I have a daughter, my older daughter. She's not a hoarder, but she's really close. Mm-hmm. And then I have another daughter, a younger daughter, who is... I mean, one of her favorite things to do when she was 2.5 years old was take everything out of her closet and drawers and fold them in neat little stacks.
Sure.
I mean, she is neat and organized and purges all the time.
Yeah.
So I have one of each.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me that it's partly just almost ingrained. And to stop collecting clutter... seems to me like you have to change some behaviors rather than just move the clutter, because it's going to build up again. So where do you see that? What happens there?
Well, yeah, you don't want to move things around. I mean,
I mean, let's say you get rid of all the clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a little switch that you help them flip so that they don't collect more?
Well, my experience is looking through one thing at a time and making decisions, looking at something like, oh, this glass, do I like drinking from it or not? Does it make me happy when I hold it in my hands? If I was in a store today, would I buy this? And going through one thing at a time and asking that question, you retrain. You're different. You can never be the same after that.
Hmm.
Because first off, you consider yourself with each one of these things. When you pick up that glass, do I like and use this or can I let it go? You're asking yourself, does this make me happy?
Mm-hmm.
And so... that's quite a difference than the usual way of like, I need to buy this because people say I should have it or somebody else has it. It's like you're considering yourself
mm-hmm.
and you're doing that repeatedly. It's going to change your relationship between yourself and mm-hmm. everything in your life. And that includes as well as things, people, the activities of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You start to notice your life a lot more. I think your awareness expands to your surroundings.
Mm.
And so, you know, you could be going through your clothes closet after a clutter bust and you take a shirt out, which I've done myself. You know, I've taken it out and go, no, this is time for this to go. It just mm-hmm. feels heavy. It feels mm-hmm. tired.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're learning a new skill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a skill you can use the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Really interesting. Forget what I was going to say next. Oh my goodness, where did it go?
I don't know.
You're getting my thought. My thoughts are uncluttering and they're flying out of my head like little birds.
Sure.
So your clients find you through your books.
Through my website, clutterbusting.com.
Okay. And how far do you go? How far do you travel to meet with clients? Do you travel a lot or do you tend to find clients where you're living?
Sometimes people will hire me to fly out. to where they live. Mm-hmm. I work with people in the area, and I also work by Skype. So,
oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I just worked with a client from Amsterdam 2 days ago, and because he had read the Dutch version of my book, you know, and I can't remember the name of it. It's such a good name. So I've worked with people all over the world.
What did he want to do?
He had a bunch of stuff from school. Like, he had gone to college like mm-hmm. 15 or 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot of the old books and the notes. Mm-hmm. And even though he wasn't using them anymore, and even though he had switched to a totally different field, mm-hmm. he wasn't even working in the area that he'd studied in, he didn't want to let these books go. Mm-hmm. And I've found that experience a lot for people that have gone to college, done some studying, and, you know, very intense studying, and then years go by, and then they don't want to let these things go.
I still have all mine.
Yeah.
I saw all from studying English, liberal arts, psychology.
And do you ever go back and look at them?
Sometimes, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait, who was it who said that? Or what was Maslow's hierarchy of needs? I can use that in something I'm working on now. So, yeah, absolutely.
Right. So it's, you know, it's based on how you actually live.
How you
so
interact with things.
Right,
yeah.
So you still use that. I mean, with this guy, I think what happens is a part of our mind goes, this stuff's important when we're studying it, because it was important at the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm learning this thing. I really want to learn it. And so the mind goes, all right, important stuff, protect this.
Sure.
Because it's giving me, makes me feel good. It's taking care of me in some way. But what happens is time goes by, and that part of our mind is still activated. It's still there to protect these things.
Sure.
And so what happens is we don't need to protect it anymore, but the watchdog is still there.
Sure. Uh-huh.
So that's why I just ask questions. And, you know, I said, well, you know, how does it feel when you look at this stuff? And he goes, it makes me feel tired and irritable.
So you're like a stuff therapist.
Yeah, basically.
Which I love that. That's really interesting. Letting people get in touch with the emotional connection they have to stuff in their house.
Well, I find that, because I don't have any judgment about it. For some reason, in this area of my life, it's just like, all right, let's take a look, see what you got. And just by asking really simple, kind questions, people end up really taking a look and realizing, oh, this doesn't, yeah, you're right. I'm not enjoying this. Mm-hmm. This is actually making me tense having this. Mm-hmm. And that was his experience. So he decided to let those things from school go. And, mm-hmm. he was happier for it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Let's take another musical break, and then we'll come back. And I want to see what sort of advice you might give to people who want to look at their kitchens from that point of view.
Mary Brabus did not look her best the day the cops bust into her lonely nest. Barbary, Barbary, Barbary.
Played a little song for the dachshunds here in the studio, Lark and Joey. Can't resist. I found that we have Niklo's, I think it's his second album, had a different name in the U.S., but in England it was called Jesus of Cool. And there it was sitting on our shelves. I could not resist it. It's just one of the greatest albums ever. We're talking with Brooks Palmer about decluttering. And what did I say we were going to talk about? My cluttered mind. In the kitchen. Some advice. What advice would you give somebody in the kitchen? What we've been talking about, like go through, look in that drawer and take out the things you never, ever use.
Right. So I suggest for people to start small. So what happens is sometimes someone will see their whole kitchen and they'll just be like, this is too much, because they're trying to... It's like trying to listen to like 800 people talk at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I usually pick one area when I'm working with a client, like, all right, let's pull out one of the drawers. And so here's all the silverware. Or people often have drawers that have everything in it, one of everything in it, and they're jammed full. So we take everything out, put it on the floor, put it on a counter space, and go through one thing at a time and go, do I actually like and use this, or can I let it go? You know, you're looking to see, like, maybe use it twice a year, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Or maybe use it, like, every week, great. But I'm guaranteeing you there's going to be stuff that you'll find that you're like, I don't even know what this is.
Right. What does this do?
I'm not going to use this. Yeah, yeah. Or like, oh yeah, I bought this and I never used it. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Sometimes people will go, well, I can't let this go because I spent money on it. And the thing is, if you're not using it, then every time you open that drawer, you see this thing and you feel badly about the money. And at the same time, it's like what really matters is your peace of mind and how good you feel. Mm-hmm. So if something makes you feel bad and you're not using it, you just give it away, donate it. Mm-hmm. And so you go through one thing at a time and go through your plates, take all your plates out of the cabinets and look at them and go, do I like eating off these plates? Mm-hmm. And see what comes up. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times people will assume, oh yeah, I need these or I like these. Mm-hmm. But then upon questioning, people are often surprised. Like, you know, I never liked these. Mm-hmm. Or I used to be married, now I'm divorced, and we had these when we were married, and now it just makes me upset. Like, mm-hmm. I remember this client, her dining room table, I asked her about it, and she just got this very, like, dark look, like, oh, you know. I said, what's going on? And she goes, she had been married, and now she was divorced. And this was the table that they had when they were married. And it just made her feel bad about the divorce.
Sure.
And I said, well, can we let it go? And she goes, well, I can't because I don't have a table to replace it. I said, it's okay to let something go. You know, you'll get a new one. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if it makes you feel bad now, let it go.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's like you get kicked in the gut every time you eat off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So she let it go. And she sold it on Craigslist. And she didn't have a table for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then she ended up getting one, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, so tables are not hard to get.
Yeah. So really, it's like if something hurts you, it's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if someone gave it to you as a gift or it used to be the greatest thing in the world for you or all the magazines, Better Homes and Gardens, that it's the thing to have, you know. It's like, how do you feel today? And you move into each area. You go into your refrigerator, you take everything out of the fridge, put it on the counter,
mm-hmm.
and question, like, all right, these
17 jars of mustard.
Right. Yeah, and you look through and open up the lid to things, because sometimes people open lids and they're moldy.
It's empty.
On the inside. Yeah, they're empty, yeah. And so, you know, you just go through it, and there's something very cleansing about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's this feeling of, like, opening the window and letting fresh air in mm-hmm. by going through stuff, because things just sitting for a while, they get stagnant.
Yeah, and they're just, yes, very much so. And they, suddenly a living space becomes a storage space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a happy way to live.
No, it's not. And the kitchen is one of the most active rooms in the house. So you want to have movement. You want to have freshness mm-hmm. in there. And so you want to get rid of the dead wood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you want to ask questions like, this food, how does it make me feel? You know, mm-hmm. do I feel good after eating it, or do I feel lousy? Like, sometimes people eat food as like a drug, you know, because they're feeling overwhelmed by stuff, so it just numbs them. So you know you want to see, like, how does this food, do you enjoy this food? Is it fun to cook? Is it fun to eat? You know, the things under your sink, you can look under the sink. People often have products there that they don't use.
Mm-hmm. Oh, under the sink, that's where the scary monsters live.
yeah, right.
But
and again, you're asking about yourself in relationship to everything,
because
mm-hmm. you have a relationship with everything in your life. So, like, how's my relationship with this thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, you'll be surprised, and you'll re-remember the things that actually matter to you. Sometimes people find stuff like, oh, I forgot I even had this. And I
mm-hmm,
really
yeah.
enjoy this particular cooking implement or this particular food in the pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And then people also find expired foods, you know, things
sure.
that have gotten expired. This one client in her kitchen, she had, first off, she had cobwebs coming off of some of the cabinets. So I said, this is in Los Angeles. I said, can we get rid of the cobwebs? And she goes, I can't. I go, why not? And they had dust on them. These were really old cobwebs. And she goes, well, I went to a psychic, and the psychic said that cobwebs are good because they trap energy. You know?
Oh, dear.
So I just said, well, do you enjoy having these cobwebs? And she goes, no, I hate them. And I go, that's all that matters, you know, what you care about. So we found a bunch of food products, and some of them were bulging because they were old, you know. Some things with liquid in them. And I said, what are these? And this was This was around the year 2003, and she had bought a bunch of stuff for the Millennium disaster that was supposed to happen.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. She spent thousands of dollars on these food rations. Yeah.
Oh,
these extra things that she could eat in case everything went down, you know? And so the expiration date was like 2001 or something. Mm-hmm.
That's actually really sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
Well, she said, I said, can we let these go? And, you know, because they're expired. And she goes, I can't. I said, why? And she goes, and she talked about the amount of money. It was a couple thousand dollars, you know. I said, well, even if all the electricity went down, if you ate this stuff, it would make you sick. And she had to think about that. But finally, she was like, yeah, okay, you know. Because it was hard for her to admit. I mean, it's hard for any of us to admit we made a mistake. Like something happened.
And people... You know, I wish people could be easier with themselves on that, because it's like, oh, you know, I prepared and then nothing bad happened. But that's a good thing.
It's
a good thing. You know, preparing is fine, and what you want is to be prepared and not have to, you know, go through the crisis.
Well, my experience from working with hundreds of people is, and not everybody's this way, but it's quite common people can be very cruel to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Absolutely.
They're whipping themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of our culture, which is like, in order to really make change happen, you have to push it. You just have to push it, and you got to, because you know, we're lazy innately, and we got to just push ourselves past, you know, just, because I see a lot of people go, oh, like, am I your worst client? Or have you seen anybody this bad? Or like, oh, I should have taken care of this a long time ago. And all that does is make people shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So I just go, it doesn't matter. Today's today. And let's see what we can do for yourself today, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think as a result of that, people relax and they open up. So I think when you're going through your stuff at home, you know, just be kind to yourself. It's like, okay, so what? I have some things here I haven't used in 15 years. It's like, I notice them. I'll give them to a charity. If I can give them a charity, because their food or whatever, it's like I can just throw it out, put it in a compost or whatever. But the kindness is a big part of the clutter busting.
Mm-hmm. And then do you stay in touch with some of your clients? Do you hear how clutter busting has changed their lives?
Yeah, sometimes people will write me and talk with me about, you know, the changes have gone on in their lives. And that everybody that I've worked with, that I've spoken with, their lives change for the better.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you remove stuff that isn't serving you, you really open the door for things to come in. And,
mm-hmm.
and usually it's things you never consider.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, because there's an openness, there's an opening for something to come in. And you know, it's like we're changing all the time. And it's, you look at your life and you realize like, oh, you know, this is how I was living. But that doesn't serve me anymore. I want to take better care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so this inventory, this kind inventory is a way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a very transformative sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, you know, it makes me think of the seasons too. You know, spring cleaning, you know, which is a form of renewal.
Yeah.
So decluttering is a form of renewal. And, you know, I think it's a really healthy thing. During the musical break, Mike was looking at the website. Do you want to say what it was that you found that interested you so much, Mike?
Well, it was a statement that, and now I've changed the website and I can't remember it exactly, but it was something about, I can't remember.
It was about something that made the past look better than the present.
If you keep stuff because the past looks better than the present, that's a problem indicator.
Sure. I mean, a lot of people's homes are like history museums.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this is the history of my life, as if their life is over. You know, it's like the Biography Channel presents my life, you know, and that's what it's like going through their house. And it's great that they've had those experiences during their life, but it kind of makes this kind of old, tired feeling, like they're not alive now. Like these were the great moments. And I'll tell you a story, just because this will blow your socks off. This guy, he was this like an 87-year-old architect, and his wife had died like 10 years before, and he was living in the condo that they had, And he had quite a lot of stuff piled up. And we went through, we threw out all this old memorabilia that he and his wife had collected for years, but he wasn't looking at it anymore. Mm-hmm. They were just in boxes, old, old, dust-covered boxes that smelled really bad from all that time. And we went through everything, and he looked at it, and sometimes he cried, and sometimes it was just like, oh, yeah, I remember that. He would tell me stories. His wife was a famous opera singer, so he was, like, reminiscing mm-hmm. about that. And so we went – he threw a lot of these things out after he looked at them. And when we were done, he said, you know what? He said, I think I'd like to get married again. He's like 89, you know?
Right on.
And I said, really? Do you know anybody? He goes, no, I'll just find somebody. But there was this life that was in him again.
Yeah, it lightened.
Yeah. And I figured, like, you know, you let these – that doesn't mean like strip your home like of everything about your past. Mm-hmm. It's like, sure, like hang on to some things like that, but have them out where you can see them mm-hmm. and interact
Enjoy
with them.
Them.
Yeah. And maybe like a few items or whatever works for you. Just avoiding putting all this stuff in storage like it's the Smithsonian's back room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think as long as you're alive, there's you want to have new experiences. I mean, think as human beings, that's what we are. We're experiencing machines. And so we want to have new experiences coming in. So this like creates the way for that. And, you know, like this older man, he was all excited about getting married again. And he really looked younger when mm-hmm. he decided to do that.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. One thing I'm curious about, and can we go here?
Sure.
What do people? What do you charge? How do you structure your fees?
Okay, so when I work in person, I have a 3-hour minimum mm-hmm. because I found that that's the good amount of time to get a lot of stuff done. Mm-hmm. I can work past that, but 3-hour minimum works really well, and a lot of stuff goes during mm-hmm. that time. So I charge $100 an hour, so that's $300,
mm-hmm.
And then. I work by Skype with people around the country, and that's also $100 an hour, but I work for like 1 or 2 hour sessions, and people can mm-hmm. actually get a 4-pack of 1-hour sessions for $300. Mm-hmm. So it's like $100 savings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I give these talks like at the Sebastopol Copperfields
on Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday. And then I'm giving another talk through the Chamber of Commerce on March 16th. At the O'Reilly Center, and that's an actual workshop,
mm-hmm.
and it's about an hour and a half, and that's where we really go in depth. You know, and then there's the books, and there's the audiobook version of my first book, which mm-hmm. you can download from the website. So there's lots of different ways mm-hmm. to work with me, uh-huh. and you'll save money because you'll buy less stuff. You know, it's just how it is. Once you start becoming more aware of your space, you just... Mm-hmm. Because I think what happens is we buy stuff because we're feeling overwhelmed by our space, so we buy more things because we think it's going to make us feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And it does for like a very brief amount of time. And so you'll be buying less stuff.
Retail therapy.
Yeah, right. and you'll find things that actually matter to you. And, you know, this one guy, I remember he was been divorced for a year, and he was still living out of his moving boxes throughout his house.
Mm-hmm.
Very unhappy, really sad guy. And we went through all the boxes, cleared out a bunch of stuff, you know, unpacked for him. And at the very end was his marriage certificate. And the last box in the very bottom. And because, you know, clutter often is very sticky.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. So we got to the marriage certificate. And I said, he goes, I got to keep this. And he wasn't happily married. His wife actually divorced him, but he still mm-hmm. wasn't happy with the marriage. So I said, well, are you going to get remarried? You know, because he wanted to hang on to the marriage certificate. And he goes, no. And he decided to let it go. And I talked to him about a week later. And one of his friends, this woman, they started dating. And they mm-hmm. really hit it off. So I think as a result of letting go of that, you know, the old marriage,
mm-hmm.
he really like, he got something new. That was good for his heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what you're doing. You're shedding the stuff that isn't taking care of you. It doesn't matter. Something could have given you 10, 15 years of great service, some shirt or some book or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you don't care about it now, then you're going to benefit mm-hmm. by letting it go. And who knows the surprises that will take its place.
Do you watch Hoarders?
I've never seen it. No. I hate that word, actually. That word is, because people go like, oh, I'm not a hoarder, as if like it's just horrible.
I watched two episodes because a friend watches it.
Yeah.
And I saw it at her house. But I found it really overwhelming. I couldn't sit and watch it. Well, but I just had to ask you that.
No, I've had two clients that were like the people on that show, I imagine. Mm-hmm. One of them, it was so bad, he had the bungee cord stuff back, mm-hmm. And he was very embarrassed about it, and mm-hmm. he never had a clutter problem, and he got fired from a job some years ago, and then he just kind of gave up, and he started buying stuff, because clutter acts as an insulation.
Exactly. Absolutely.
We insulate ourselves with this
stuff
to numb ourselves from, it's just like getting drunk. I mean, it really has that same thing.
And on that note, we are just about out of time.
Sure.
So when Copperfields in Sebastopol mm-hmm. this coming Saturday night. So that is the 30th of January,
30th,
I think.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. No charge, I would assume.
It's no charge.
Yeah, no, Copperfields doesn't charge at the Sebastopol store. And then tell us again your website.
It's clutterbusting. That's with an ing .com.
Clutterbusting.com. It is Brooks Palmer. Welcome to Sonoma County.
Thank you.
Welcome to Sebastopol.
It's crazy to be here.
And thank you so much for reaching out to me.
Sure.
You know, it's really great. And you all meet me back here next week when we have returning for, gosh, I don't know, the fifth or sixth time, Mike, the Carl and I forget who's coming with him this time, but from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association, they will be here next Sunday.
And they always bring some surprisingly good wine.
They do. They do. So see you next week. Have a great time this week. Visit a farmer's market. And take care of yourself and somebody else.